Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another. Pray One for Another, sweet hour of prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, you can dial 319-527-6204. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to say a short prayer, and then I want to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, we'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come glory, God is worthy.
Elohimnu Olam, which means everlasting God. In Psalms 48 and 14, and the NIV says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. Elohimnu Olam. He will be our guide even to the end. Let us pray. Everlasting God, you are our God forever and ever. You will be our guide even to the end. In you, there is no beginning and there is no end. We are never afraid that you will abandon us by leaving us unexpectedly. Neither will you cease to exist. We know you now, and we will know you in eternity. And even more so, for then we will see you face to face. You are worthy of all praise and admiration. You are worthy of our highest honor and deepest respect. You do not sit in time, but you are outside of time, inviting us to join you in the drama of the ages unending. How vast are your thoughts, stretching beyond what any mind could comprehend. You know all things, and in you, life itself will never end. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our Bible study will be conducted by our very own First Lady Nadine. So if you would like to join us to participate in our Bible study, you can tune in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. For our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here on this line every day to pray one for another. Amen. At this time, I would like to play another selection. I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. God is sustaining me by the Wiki Tones. Praise God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. This is simple. We're going to have church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us, but I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God? My God is sustaining me. No matter what the test,
Colossians 1 and 16 in the New King James Version says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Praise God. 1 Kings 19 and verse 12 in the New King James Version. "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Amen. Psalms 5 and 3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. "Wait quietly in my presence while my thoughts form slightly in the depths of your being. Do not try to rush this process, because hurry keeps your heart earthbound. I am the creator of the entire universe, yet I chose to make my humble home in your heart. It is there where you know me and most intimately. It is there where I speak to you in holy whispers. Ask my spirit to quiet your mind so that you can hear my still small voice within you. I am speaking to you continually, words of life, words of peace, words of love. Turn your heart to receive these messages of abundance, blessings. Lay your requests before me and wait in expectation." Amen. I hope this was a blessing to you as it was to me. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at this time, I'd like to play another selection while we are waiting. Praise God.
And answer me. You said, "Did you lay the earth's foundation?" You said, "Have you command of sky and sea?" Lord, I have no words, and I and I don't deserve. Your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Like thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
praise.
Every praise,
it's to our God.
Every word of worship,
every word of worship. on the cross.
On our cross.
Come on, say every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
Every praise,
every
prayer,
every
prayer,
every
prayer, Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Give strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify, you know he's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice and say,
awesome, awesome.
Come on and say, awesome,
awesome.
My God,
my God, awesome.
Come on and say, awesome,
awesome.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice.
Awesome, awesome.
Come on, somebody.
To God.
Keeps my mind, the grace you've shown towards me. I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me, I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's sing it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on. on the problem.
The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory.
Cause I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may be.
He's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I move.
In him I live, I move.
They like the best of people. Come on, lift them up in here.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
be. Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
So hell bent, where did the lights go, I had the whole plan. Deep down in my soul, I was watching, I was waiting, I was praying, I was staying down on my knees, right where you found me. My deliverer, you rescued me from all the hell made captive. My deliverer, you set me free. Now I'm alive and I can live. So every moment I will give you praise.
Get into our lesson with our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins, who's going to come with and conduct our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless. Amen. God bless you too. How's everyone doing?
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. And you?
Doing good too. Thank you. Oh, okay. Let's do this. Open up in prayer. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Wow. Dear God, Lord God, we come to you, Lord God, humbly, Lord God, humbly in our hearts, Lord God, and loving you and loving on you, Lord God, because, God, you are so worthy of all of our love, Lord God, because you love us so much. Lord God, in spite of who we are. Lord God, take away anything this evening from this lesson, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you, Lord God. We pray that everything that is said and done is a sweet aroma to you, Lord God, as we go through this lesson, Lord God, and as we get more and more and more knowledge of you so that we can get closer and closer and closer to you, Lord God. Lord God, bless everyone, Lord God, who's on this line. Bless those who are not able to come, Lord God, and give them the wherewithal to come the next time, Lord God. Because, Lord God, your word is a lamp to our feet, Lord God, and we need your guidance in everything that we do. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity for us to meet. We thank you for these platforms, Lord God, that you have given us so that we could meet, Lord God. Because, Lord God, you are a progressive God, and we love you, Lord God, for that. So in Jesus' name I pray, and have everyone who has an ear to hear, Lord God, please let them hear it. And, Lord God, give me the knowledge and the wisdom, Lord God, that I need to deliver this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, before we go, we're going to talk about our homework assignment. Who wants to start?
Not me, because I don't have it. I couldn't, not that I couldn't find it. It was in the wrong book. I had it inside of Sister Barbara's lesson instead of in your lesson. So.
Oh, you mean the assignment you wrote?
Yeah, mm-hmm. the assignment for the homework. So I didn't know what it was until I saw it. And it was saying was the Northern Israel from the same lineage of King David. But then when I went to Wikipedia, mm-hmm. it's given me kings of Israel and Judah and Israel mm-hmm. and Judah. But, you know, the house and Judah and the house of David, but that's type of mm-hmm. artist and the Dominic King David's genes. So it was like I didn't mm-hmm. know which one to go and look it up, so I will do it for next week.
Okay. Sister Barbara?
All right. Mine just done. And I have a subtitle. Was the mm-hmm. Northern Israel the lineage as King David? Or
mm-hmm.
why Israel split? Okay. I know it was said that we have a Northern Israel and a Southern Israel, but it's more... I guess correctly stated as the Northern Kingdom, Israel, and the Southern Kingdom, Judah. So, Jacob, later called Israel, was the second-born son of Isaac and Rebekah, the younger twin of Esau, grandson of Abraham and Sarah. Jacob was chosen by God to be the patriarch of the Israelite nation. It is recorded that Jacob had 12 sons who formed the basis for the 12 tribes of Israel. And I named them Reuben, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And we know that Jacob had two wives, including two concubines. So Jacob was known to display favoritism among his children, particularly for Joseph and Benjamin, sons of his favorite wife, Rachel. And so the tribes themselves were not treated equally in a divine sense. Joseph, despite being the second youngest son, received double the inheritance of his brothers, treated as if he were the firstborn son instead of Reuben. And so his tribe was later split into two tribes, named for his sons, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Israel
is saying Is it saying the tribes wasn't treated equally, or the sons weren't treated equally?
A family, his tribe.
Because they weren't a tribe yet.
Okay, I'm just. Can I just read it and then we can tear it apart?
Okay.
So I said that we know that Joseph, despite being the second youngest son, received double the inheritance of his brothers, treated as if he were the firstborn son instead of Reuben. And so his tribe was later split into two tribes, named for his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. Israel was divided into two kingdoms around 931 B.C., Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Around 722 B.C., the Assyrians invaded and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. When Rehoboam, Solomon's son, would not lessen the tax burden, that caused the 11 tribes to leave the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Judah was left to only themselves. Jeroboam, the man who led the revolt against Judah, set up his own worship system for the 11 tribes. This essentially made all the tribes of Levi to return to Judah. Apparently, they didn't like that worship system. So the tribe of Benjamin also came back to partner with Judah. This is the cause of the split up, and from that time, there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was ruled by the tribe of Ephraim through Jeroboam. They were named after the land called Samaria. The southern kingdom was run by the house of David, the tribe of Judah. The spiritual reason why the kingdom split in two was that they would not serve God fully. Solomon began to rebel against God, and we know what he did. He began to marry foreign women and thus get away from the true and living God. So God said he would take the kingdom away from the house of David. But because of a promise made to David, he left him a tribe of Judah and Benjamin, as well as the Levites. At the return of Jesus, he will bind them together into one branch and make them one nation under him and under his servant David, as he promised King David. That's my assignment. Any questions? You wanted to say something?
Was the northern king of Israel from the line of David? That was the question.
Yes, when they were with Solomon, they split. So they were all in one.
Okay.
All of the tribes
so they
were in one.
Never, right. The northern kingdom of Israel was not from the tribe of David. Because, let me just read what I have. Okay, so this is part of it too. So initially, David was the king over the tribe of Judah. And then for 7 years, he reigned as the king of the tribe of Judah. But the other Israelite tribes, remember, they lost there was death to their king, Ish-bosheth, and the people of the other tribes chose to have David be the king, and that was the beginning of the United Kingdom. And during that time, when David reigned over the United Kingdom, God said to David, and we can see that in 2 Samuel 5. God made a Davidic covenant to David. And that Davidic covenant is that there will always be a king from the line of David, meaning from his children, from the birth. People, you know, the line of David means that every single king of Judah, and even before they split, you know, from David to Solomon, all the kings came from the line of David. His grandchildren, his, you know, great-great-grand, great-great-great-great-great-grand. So, and the people of northern Israel accepted that. You know, they accepted the fact that these kings are going to be coming from the offsprings of David. But after they broke, right, after they split, because of, like you said, because of King Solomon and what he did, and when, you know, Rehoboam, who was David's grandson, David's grandson, was selfish and told them that he was going to continue to tax them even more than his father Solomon, Jeroboam, who was not a relative, he was not in the line of David. Jeroboam was not born of David. Jeroboam split and started the northern kingdom. So the kings of the northern kingdom were not in the linear of David. Every king in the northern kingdom was just somebody who was strong enough to kill out the king ahead. You know, each king in the northern kingdom was a king who overthrew the next king. And they overthrew the next king. They had nothing to do with being in the line of David.
Amen.
Okay. I'll read this part again. When Rehoboam, Solomon's son, would not lessen the tax burden, 11 tribes, which were Israel, which were the Davidic lineage, 11 tribes split and went to the north. So they were from the line of David. They were Israel.
They were Israel. But let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back to Jacob, Israel. He has 12 sons, right? Say you have 5 kids. Right? He has 12 sons. One of his sons' name was Judah. Each tribe represents one of Jacob's sons, right? Yeah, they may be from the line of Jacob, but they're not considered from the line of Judah. Judah has his own, as a man, he has his own offspring. So his offspring make up the tribe of Judah. His offspring don't make up the tribe of Benjamin. His offspring doesn't make up the tribe of Dan. His offspring don't make up those other tribes. Each one of those sons represent their own offspring. So Judah, he has his own offspring. And the reason why this is important is because God concentrated his, everything that he did. Even when you read Kings, and then you go into, after Kings is, what is that other
Chronicles?
Book after Kings? Who?
Chronicles?
The book after Kings. The book after Kings. I can't think of it. It's exactly the same. Chronicles only focuses on Judah. Chronicles does not focus on any of the other 10 tribes. Chronicles is just about Judah. Because that's where the line of David, that's where Jesus, that's the whole line of David to Jesus. So that's the focus of the Bible is Judah. So all the other tribes cannot be from the line of Judah, from the line of David, because that's the focus of the Bible, is Judah and David. And the reason why God chose David.
Hello?
Yeah.
They were brothers.
Yeah. Of course they were brothers. But
so
I can be a good brother, you can be a bad brother.
So they're all from the same. They're all from the same lineage. They're all from the same lineage. They were brothers.
Okay. But to be more specific, God chose David for the kingdom. He made a Davidic covenant. He didn't make a Benjamin covenant. He didn't make a covenant with any of the other sons who all came from. You're right. The Jews came from Jacob, right? But God made a specific covenant with David. Not any of the other Israelites. So the focus is on David, and the focus is on David's children, the lineage of David. That's the focus. And David just happened to be from Judah. We could be really, really, of course we could get really detailed and say, yeah, well, they all come from Abraham. Yes. We know the history of the Jews because Abraham is the father of the Jews. But because God is so progressive, as we move along into the Bible, it gets very, very specific. God concentrated on David because David was a man after God's own heart. So he made a promise to David that every king from now on is going to come from you. From your lineage. That's the focus that God took.
Okay. You have a point, but the bottom line is that Jacob was chosen by God to be the patriarch of the Israelite nation. His name was changed to Israel. So they all came from Jacob, including Judah. And so they were all one nation. They got split. And you're right that Judah was the tribe that, you know, the lineage of Jesus Christ came through. But they were all Israelites, and they all, the 12 tribes, all came from Jacob.
Yeah, but the question was the northern kingdom of Israel from the line of David? That was the question.
From the lineage of
David.
It
didn't say from the line. That was the question. Were the northern kings from the lineage of David? And the answer to that is no, they weren't from the lineage of David. They were from the lineage of Jacob.
Those are his children.
Yeah, but they weren't born of David. When you talk about a lineage.
No, they were born of, listen, we're not going to get an agreement on this, all right? They were
Jacob. Move on.
Those were his children.
Okay.
Those were his children. And I still say that those children were split up. 11 of them went north because they didn't agree with Rehoboam about the taxes, and so they split. But they were one family, one nation at one point. And they all did come. Excuse me?
No, I said okay. No, I think we should move forward.
Okay, so
you're right.
We can't agree on that one. I don't agree with you.
No, we cannot agree on that one.
No.
So let's move on.
Okay.
Okay, so we were up to, we almost out.
Survey. The survey.
We were doing the survey. Yeah, so we were up to.
Yeah, we finished the contribution.
Solomon's reign, which was chapters one through nine dealt with Solomon's reign. Am I in the, no, where am I? In the world, I'm in Chronicles. Lord have mercy.
Okay, so it's only seven chapters of Chronicles.
Chronicles. All right, let's see. Let me get to where we are. So I thought we was almost done with. You're in process. We went over the key price, contributions, introduction.
In Micah. Yeah, the survey. Oh.
The survey.
Last
it's
week
Micah.
Was the contributions, and then we stopped.
No, I'm trying to find Micah. I don't know where it is.
It's after.
Jonah.
Yeah, after. Jonah, Micah, here we go. Okay, here we go. Okay, the survey. So we were up to, we did the first part of the survey. We were up to the second commission Micah.
You're on page 264.
Okay, I got it. I don't have pages. The survey of Micah. So the prediction of judgment. I think that's where we are now. The prediction of judgment, which was chapters 1 through 3, and that's where Micah begins by launching into a general declaration of the condemnation of Israel and Samaria, Judah, and Jerusalem. Being Samaria was the capital of Israel, and Jerusalem the capital of Judah. Both kingdoms will be overthrown because of their rampant treachery. Hmm. Micah uses a series of word plays on the names of several cities of Judah in his lamentation over Judah's coming destruction. Hilda, could you get Micah chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, and Sister Barbara, can you get Micah chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, and I'll tell you when to read it. Okay, Hilda, when you get it, read 1, 10 through 16.
Okay. I'm reading from the New Living. And it says,
okay,
the sailors were terrified. Then they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh.
This is, wait a minute, that sounds like Jonah.
Micah. Mm-mm. I know. Micah chapter 1. It just sounds like Jonah.
Oh, my God. And it was like,
when you said he was running from the Lord, we were like, wait.
Oh, my God.
And laugh. Okay. You all make that mistake. All right.
Yeah. All right. 10. Micah 1 and 10 says, don't tell our enemies and gasp. Don't weep at all. You people in Bethlehem, roll in the dust to show their despair. You people in Shafir, go as captives into exile, naked and ashamed, the people of Zana dare not come outside their walls. The people of Beth, where am I going? How far am I going?
16.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the people of Beth Israel moan, for their house has no support. The people of Marath anxiously wait for relief, but only bitterness awaits them as the Lord's judgment reaches even to the gates of Jerusalem. Harness your chariot, horses, and flee. You people of Lachish, You were the first city in Judah to follow Israel in her rebellion, and you led Jerusalem into sin. Send farewell gifts to Moshiach Gath. There is no hope of saving it, the town of Azib has deceived the kings of Israel, O people of Moshiach. I will bring a conqueror to capture your town, and the leaders of Israel will go to Adullam. O people of Judah, shave your heads in sorrow, for the children you love will be snatched away. Make yourself as bald as a vulture, for your little ones will be exiled to distant lands.
Ooh. Amen. So he's naming every city in Judah. So don't think because you know, some people would be like, oh, well, he didn't mention my city, you know. He said that he mentioned every one of the cities, like nobody's going to get away with it. No one's going to get away with the destruction. And this is followed by some of the specific causes for judgment, premeditated schemes, covetousness, and cruelty. Nevertheless, God will regather a remnant of his people, and that's Sister Barbara 2:12-13.
Okay, and the title of this is God Has Had Enough. And, of course, this is from the message. I'm calling a meeting, Jacob. I want everyone back, all the survivors of Israel. I'll get them together in one place, like sheep in a fold, like cattle in a corral, a milling throng of homebound people. Then I, God, will burst all confinements and lead them out into the open. They'll follow their king. I will be out in front leading them. And the word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen. Amen. Where were they actually all gathered together again?
Weren't they in Judah?
No, remember, they weren't all. He said all of Israel. At one point, I will gather you all together again.
Oh, they were scattered.
Where were they gathered?
Oh, they were scattered.
Well, where were they all together at, though?
Where were they all together?
Think about the exile.
What, in Babylon?
In Babylon. Exactly, because remember, Assyria first took the northern kingdom, right?
Right.
And then Babylon took over Assyria. So all of that area, Assyria didn't raid. Once Babylon came into power, Babylon took over Assyria. So you had. So that's where. So all the Israelites were all in, you know, part of Babylon now.
Wow.
Do you see that? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then God gave them, then Persia took them over, right?
Took over, yeah.
And once Persia took them over, then God, after those 70 years, the Persian king said, you can go, right? You can go back.
Go back. Get out.
You can go back to Jerusalem. You can go back to Jerusalem, although there were some that decided to stay in Persia, but
they
did have an opportunity to return back. Okay, so Hilda, could you get 3:1-4 and read, also have, be ready to read 3:5-8.
Okay.
And then 3:9-12. So I'll tell you what.
Oh, so then I'll just read the whole chapter.
Yeah, but I don't want you to read it at one time.
Oh, okay.
I want you to read it in those sections. Okay.
Okay.
So the prophet then systematically condemns the princes. Read 1-4.
Okay. This is the trial of the leaders. I said, listen, you leaders of Israel, you are supposed to know right from wrong, but you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. You skin my people alive and tear the flesh from their bones. Yes, you eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin, and break their bones. You chop them up like meat for the cooking pot. Then you beg the Lord for help in times of trouble. Do you really expect him to answer? After all, the evil you have done, he won't even look at you. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. That was 4, right?
4, 1-4, yes.
4. Mm. And the prophets, 5-8.
Okay. This is what the Lord said. You false prophets are leading my people astray. You promise peace for those who give you food. But you declare war on those who refuse to feed you. Now, the night will close around you, cutting off all your visions. Darkness will cover you, putting an end to your predictions. The sun will set for you prophets, and your day will come to an end. Then you seers will be put to shame, and you fortune tellers will be disgraced, and you will cover your faces because there is no answer from God. Amen.
And concludes with a warning of coming judgment, and that's 9-12.
Okay. Let me read 8.
You're supposed to go through 8. I think you read 8.
Oh, you didn't read 8. Oh,
no.
Okay.
I'll read it anyway. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord. I am filled with justice and strength to boldly declare Israel's sin and rebellion. Listen to me. This is 9. Listen to me, you leaders of Israel. You hate justice and twist all that is right. You are building Jerusalem on a foundation of murder and corruption. You rulers make decisions based on bribes. You priests teach God's law only for a price. You prophets won't prophesy unless you are paid. Yet all of you claim to depend on the Lord. No harm can come to us, you say, for the Lord is here among us. Because of you, Mount Zion will be plowed like an open field. Jerusalem will be reduced to ruins. A thicket will grow on the heights where the temple now stands. Amen.
Amen. I mean, they're like spoiled children, you know. They're like, you know, knowing that, you know, they are God's chosen, you know. They just didn't, you know, they felt like they were invincible to anything in spite of the warnings.
Yeah. In spite of everything, they still did what they wanted to do.
And okay, look around,
we look around today, we see they still feel that way.
Exactly.
You ever go into a Jewish neighborhood and they act like they own the world?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That is so true. That is definitely true.
Especially when you're driving,
mm-hmm.
instead of them pulling away from the curb and allowing the moving trap, they just come out. They just, hey.
Dare you.
Not even a daring. They just move. They just come out, you know, in their cars. They just come on out. They have the right of way, and they don't.
Right. But that's very interesting observation.
They do. Yeah.
That's a very interesting observation. I know I was working in, and I guess because I was in the community, so I'm not really sure, but I know I had to go see a patient, and it was, there's a project over there. It's
mm-hmm.
a project in the area that I was. I don't even remember the area in Brooklyn, but it's a project, and it was mainly predominantly Hasidic Jews living in this project, and they were obviously poor, and because, with multiple babies and stuff like that, but it was just like the children at any age, they just walk around with no parental guidance.
That's right.
I get on the elevator because I'm going to see her, and this little girl, she couldn't have been five. If she was five, she wouldn't have been more than 5 years old. Gets on the elevator, and I'm looking for the mother. I was really looking for the mother because this little girl was so little. Presses the button, and I'm like, well, where's your mommy? And, of course, she just looked at me, stared at me, and didn't say anything. But, she gets on the elevator by herself, presses the floor she was going to, and gets off her floor. Yeah, okay, well.
Because they trained them to do that.
Well, I guess because, it's the majority, they feel like it's a safe environment for the children to just run and leave
and move around.
Somebody's going to look out for the child, at some point. But, it was just so weird to me. I'm like, wow.
And I just want to mention another observance. Observation on my part, again, going through like Kent Avenue and all of that before you get to Nostrand and between the bridge and all of that, that whole section over there, they have to be home by sundown, right? But you go over there at 10 and 12 o'clock at night, they're like, it's broad daylight. They're out in the street, they're shopping, they're doing so many things, I'm like, and without fear. Not that they shouldn't be, but, I thought they had a curfew, and apparently, they can still move around feeling safer in their neighborhood than we feel in our own,
Exactly.
That's good. Good for them. Good for them. We should all feel that way, Anytime
they're
safe in their own area.
When I used to work in Washington Heights, they built up there, 181st Street. They used to, at 11 o'clock, they would close off the street.
Is that morning or night?
No, morning on Amsterdam. And no cars, no buses, nothing could come through that block.
You mean talking about on their Sabbath day?
No, every day. Every day they closed off that section of 181st to 191st in Amsterdam.
For how long? And what was the purpose?
So they can sit outside. The mothers can bring their children and sit in the little school area that they have tables and benches, and so that some of the students from the college could come out and.
You mean where the yeshiva? Where the yeshiva school is?
Yeah, the yeshiva on 181st in Amsterdam.
Yeshiva is further up. It's like 190 something. Yeshiva.
Yeah, but they start from 180 something.
181st. Okay.
They take like 10 blocks.
Oh, yes. Because yes. It's, yeah,
they
that's right.
10 blocks.
Right,
yeah.
Over the bridge. Yeah, that whole
right.
area they have.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Oh. But how long then? How long they close the street?
They could from 11 to 3:30, 4 o'clock.
What?
So where did the 101 bus go?
The bus would come as far as it can, and then it would turn up the block and go down
St. Nicholas?
No,
oh,
Audubon. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They owned up there. All of the buildings that was up there, they owned those buildings. You see,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they wouldn't rent it to nobody but their people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Until, you know, the Dominicans and them took up a petition and they got enough signatures and stuff and they took it to downtown or wherever they take it for them not
and they were able to move in because now it's, you know, now
right, they're not the only ones that live up there, you know.
Yes, because
you're talking about Washington Heights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's still areas of Washington Heights they're not necessarily Jewish, but they are definitely white. I mean, my friend Dana lives on Chittenden Street. I ain't never heard of that street. Chittenden Street, which is more like 190. It's like 190 something, but real, this is the last street over past Riverside. It's right on the Hudson, right on the river.
Right by the river.
Street.
No wonder you never heard of it.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. Right by the river. But that whole area over there is predominantly white. So somehow or another, the Dominicans
get
in there.
Mm-hmm, they moved out from there. When did the Haitians, the Dominicans, Cubans, it didn't have many Africans up there. But when they all started moving in over there, all the Jews they move further over,
mm-hmm.
like further up into Riverdale. Or downtown,
mm-hmm.
further downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we go.
Yeah.
I mean, back
okay.
up in the 70s, oof, it was horrible up there. 80s and 70s and to the 80s, it was horrible. It was so drug infested that I didn't even want to come to work, but I had no choice.
That was more like when crack came in. That was
yeah.
more like in the 80s with the crack.
Yes.
Because crack took over Washington
well,
Heights. 70s, yeah, it was the crack.
In the 70s
yeah.
when I first
it was still
started
nice
up there.
It was still nice in the 70s, okay?
No. It wasn't that nice up there.
It was nice in the 70s. It was nice to live in Washington Heights. And it was a nice place in the 70s. It started. And I remember
going
when those crackheads came in there in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's continue. Sister Barbara, can you get Micah 4, verses 1 through 5? And also get, not yet. Okay, so the prediction of restoration, and we saw this prediction of restoration is in the chapters 4 through 5. Micah then moves into a two-chapter message of hope, which describes the reinstitution of the kingdom and the intervening captivity of the kingdom, and then concluding with the coming ruler of the kingdom. So if you're going to read 4, 1 through 5, and Hilda, can you get 5, 2 through 15, and I'll tell you when to read it.
Okay.
This one here is a little bit long. So, Sister Barbara.
This is
the
V
Institution.
Excuse me? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The Making of God's People, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. But when all is said and done, God's temple on the mountain, firmly fixed, will dominate all mountains, towering above surrounding hills. People will stream to it, and many nations set out for it, saying, come, let's climb God's mountain. Let's go to the temple of Jacob's God. He will teach us how to live. We'll know how to live God's way. True teaching will issue from Zion, God's revelation from Jerusalem. He'll establish justice in the rabble of the nations and settle disputes in faraway places. They'll trade in their swords for shovels, their spears for rakes and hoes. Nations will quit fighting each other, quit learning how to kill one another. Each man will sit under his own shade tree. Each woman will safely, each woman in safety will tend her own garden. God of the angel armies says so, and he means what he says. Meanwhile, all the other people live however they wish, picking and choosing their gods. But we live honoring God, and we're loyal to our God forever and ever. Mm.
Yes, yes, yes. And the intervening captivity and the intervening captivity of the kingdoms. And that is, it's actually chapter 4, verse 6, all the way to chapter 5, verse 1. Let's see, how many chapters is that all total? From chapter 4, verse 6 to chapter 5, verse 1. Okay, that's quite a bit. That's quite a bit.
That's for Sababa, right?
No, I didn't give it to anybody yet.
Oh.
So I'll read it. It's Israel's Return from Exile. Is how it's entitled. In that coming day, says the Lord, I will gather together those who are lame, those who have been exiled, and those whom I have filled with grief. Those who are weak will survive as a remnant. Those who are exiles will become a strong nation. Then I, the Lord, will rule from Jerusalem as their king forever. As for you, Jerusalem, the citadel of God's people, your royal might and power will come back to you again. The kingship will be restored to my precious Jerusalem. But why are you now screaming in terror? Have you no king to lead you? Have your wise people all died? Pain has gripped you like a woman in childbirth. Rift and groan like a woman in labor, you people of Jerusalem, for now you must leave this city to live in the open country. You will soon be sent in exile to distant Babylon, but the Lord will rescue you there. He will redeem you from the grip of your enemies. Now many nations have gathered against you. Let her be desecrated. Let her be desecrated, they say. Let us see the destruction of Jerusalem. But they do not know the Lord's thoughts or understand his plan. These nations don't know that he is gathering them together to be beaten and trampled like sheaves of grain on a threshing floor. Rise up and crush the nations, O Jerusalem, says the Lord. For I will give you iron horns and bronze hooves, so that you can trample many nations to pieces. Will you present their stolen riches to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the earth? And verse 1. Mobilize marshal your troops. The enemy lay siege to Jerusalem. They will strike Israel's leaders in the face and in the face with a rod. So that was the intervening captivity of the kingdom. And then, Hilda, did I give you five?
Yeah, five.
2 through 15?
Uh-huh.
Okay, wait a minute. Concluding with the coming ruler of the kingdom. Okay, now.
This is a ruler from Bethlehem. But you, mm-hmm. O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last, his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. When the Assyrians invaded our land and break through our defenses, we will appoint 7 rulers to watch over us, 8 princes to lead us. They will rule Assyria with drawn swords and enter the gates of the land of Nimrod. He will rescue us from the Assyrians when they pour over the borders to invade our land, the remnant purified. Then the remnant left in Israel will take their place among the nations. They will be like dew sent by the Lord, or like rain falling on the grass, which no one can hold back and no one can restrain. The remnant left in Israel will take their place among the nations. They will be like a lion among the animals of the forest, like a strong young lion among flocks of sheep and goats, pouncing and tearing as they go, with no rescuer in sight. The people of Israel will stand up to their foes, and all their enemies will be wiped out. In that day, says the Lord, I will slaughter your horses and destroy your chariots. I will tear down your walls and demolish your defenses. I will put an end to all witchcraft, and there will be no more fortune tellers. I will destroy all your idols and sacred pillows, so you will never again worship the work of your own hands. I will demolish your idol shrine with their Asherah poles and destroy your pagan cities. I will pour out my vengeance on all the nations that refuse to obey me. Amen.
Ooh, all the nations.
All
surrounding nations.
All.
Mm-hmm. So the prophetic focus gradually narrows from the nations to the remnants to the king. A plea for repentance. In his 2 controversies with his people, God calls them into court and presents an unanswerable case against them. The people have spurned God's grace, choosing instead to revel in wickedness. Micah concludes with a sublime series of promises that the Lord will pardon their iniquities and renew their nation in accordance with his covenant. And that concludes Micah. And so we will be moving on to Nahum next week. So let's see, Nahum. We should do some reading before. Oh, Nahum is only 3 chapters. So let's read Nahum, the book of Nahum, for homework.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Cool.
Amen.
Okay. All right. And then Sister Barbara will send us our little reminders.
Amen.
Don't forget to read your 3 chapters of Nahum. And then let Brother Jake know, too, so he can be prepared, too.
Yes.
For it. All right. Praise God. Somebody want to pray us out, please?
Sister Barbara.
Precious Lord, lead us on and help us stand. Lord, we're weak, we're weary, and we're tired. But we come to you to just praise your holy name, Father God.
Yes,
we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and all that you're doing right now. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for our facilitator, Lady Nadine. And we thank you for Evangelist Hilda and anyone else who's listening at the time, the absent ones, Apostle Mother Wiggins, and, of course, our brother Jake. God bless them and keep them as you cover us all with your wonderful, unconditional love. We love you. Can't live without you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough because you're just awesome. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your kindness, your favor, Father God, your many benefits. Thank you for your very Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And if there's anything else, I will omit it for the best of it, Father God. That will be done. All these many blessings I ask again in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you're the best. In Jesus' name.
Yes, yes you are. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hilda, you want to give the benediction then?
Yes. My benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25. Well,
praise God.
Here we go. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. My Lord. I always have it ready, you know. Okay, so it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forever. And let us all say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Okay. Have a blessed week. Thank you. Praise God.
Oh, listen.
Aren't we here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Oh.
Yes, God willing. Wednesday.
Yeah. First lady, have a blessed week.
Oh.
When we say have a blessed week, we mean the week is already done, but we're just in the beginning.
I know. Mm-hmm. When's your birthday, Barbara?
Valerie's birthday is the 26th. So she's
Valerie
the one in charge.
Valerie's the
26th. Yeah, Valerie's the 26th.
Valerie's the 26th.
She's the one in charge of the birthday, so Does someone want to get a card?
She sent the card to First Lady.
I have the card. This card is for herself?
No,
No, you're not hearing what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, what are we going to do about her birthday? Are we going to send a card? You want me to send a card? And if so, you want me to put money in it and you guys reimburse me? You know, what are you going to, since she's in charge of birthdays is all I'm saying, how are we going to bless her?
Right. We're going to need a card and we can put money in it. But we have, let's come up with a money amount.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we think is appropriate?
Today is the 21st, so we need to know something by tomorrow.
Right. I mean, we can decide. And do you use Zelle?
No, I don't use that.
Okay.
But don't even bother to ask me about no Zelle, no.
So we have to check something.
None of those.
You noticed I didn't ask you, Hilda, right?
I was like, let me be there to the point.
You don't have to. I already know. I was not going to ask you about that.
Thank you.
That's why I asked Barbara because I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure what she does because I don't know how else to get money to accept what send you a check. So
Cash App or Zillow, I don't do any of that. Zelle,
okay.
Cash App.
We old fashioned.
So it would have to be cash or a check. And like I said, I would get the card if you guys want me to do that. I just need to know who's putting in what and will I get my money back. So we got to talk to everybody, you know, Nene, Sharon, and see if they are interested. And so is it only for us or are the men included or what? It's just for the daughter.
I think the men are included. Deacon Clyde sends, you know, he sent his money, and Valerie put hers. I put mine.
You mean for the birthday thing?
Yeah.
One, two.
I told you.
The birthday money is going to Valerie.
They sent it to me, and I deposit whatever they send in the church.
Talking about the church. She told me she was going to collect the birthday money. Anyway, you all think about that.
Yeah. What day is your birthday, Barbara?
Mine is September 29th.
Okay. All right. She's the 26th.
Right. So she's three days before me.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. All right. So what?
The only other thing is that, well, still, if I send her the card and we send you the money and you send her something by Zelle or something, you know, but that's kind of messy.
That's why we
buy the cards so that, you know, what the money, like the people send their money and stuff to me, I deposit it and the money comes from the church and you guys are the church. So it's one card and we all can't get to sign it, but we just say, you know, it's from the church.
From the church, right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So you're in charge of the birthday stuff,
huh? Huh?
D'Angela? So you're in charge of the birthday thing now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because she...
That makes sense.
Yes. So when they, like,
but
I
it was
said,
just that Valerie every, wanted to get. She remember she said how much she loved buying birthday cards.
Yeah,
like,
she buys beautiful cards.
She buys the cards and then she sends the card. She's supposed to send
to
the
you.
Card to first
That's
lady.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, why
oh,
send
okay.
it to me?
Listen,
so that you
can send it to you.
But
that doesn't
make
any sense. That makes no sense.
No.
Send it to me so that I can send it to you.
No, that's
for you to send it out with someone. Why don't you just send it, find a beautiful card and
send
it
to
send
the
it,
birthday
give it
person.
To
you. You need to do to
because
to
I,
like
I told her why. You know, we're supposed to talk about all of this on Sunday. But the thing is, yes. And the amount that she first came up with, come on, man. That's not even enough to buy, how should I say, a peapot.
So what we giving, $40 for the birthdays? How much money? Let's just make a number.
No, it's supposed to be $10. Right now it's
$2.
$2? No, I mean, how much are we giving the birthday person?
The birthday person, we give whatever the collection is, but it just goes into the pot, and we have to figure out, you know, how much to give.
Well, let's figure it out right now.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I was saying $10.
30, 40.
I was thinking,
how many in the Daughters of Divinity, right? It's Nadine, Nene, Hilda, Sharon, Valerie, and myself. It's six of us.
That's
six.
Right.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count, include the men. So right now, I would say that's, what, $10 a piece?
Mm-hmm.
Each time somebody has a birthday.
Right, which we have
so
two birthdays in this month, and then we have none in October, and I think she said we have two or three. She sent me the list, but
okay,
it's like
well, just get this
emails.
One straight now. I'm concerned about the other ones in a minute.
Yeah.
But so what do we want to do to bless her? We want to send her $60 or... You got to find out if the other ladies want to do it. They may not want to, you know, they may not want to do it.
Yeah. $10 a month is $10, what it would be, $10 a month?
Yes, one
I would
a
say
month.
So what are you going to do when you have two and three birthdays in one month?
Exactly.
Then it's split. They got to be split. $60 is what we're giving. If there's two birthdays in one month, then it's 30 and 30. We can't get both 60. That's what I'm saying. That may be, like, if we put it at 30,
mm-hmm.
then it'll be fair if there's two
it'll
birthdays
be consistent.
In a month.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
All right, so do it like
that.
That. Each birthday person gets $30 for their birthday. We don't have any people three in one month, right?
No.
Not from the ladies.
No. I don't think
okay.
I know. I would have to go all the way through my emails, and that was a while ago.
Okay.
But anyway, for now, we're going to do that 30 apiece.
Right, so what about the card?
Nadine has
well,
the card.
Well, she still wants to buy the card.
Well, she can't buy for herself.
But she didn't
I'm
buy her own card. So, Barbara,
no.
you can pick out a card for her. And then
okay,
whatever
so
the cost of the card is, we would split that, too.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to say the $30, you want me to put the $30 in the card and just send it off to her?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All
right.
And then Nadine will then I would have to send you a check because we don't.
A check.
Because you and I don't have those different apps that they got. So,
not that I don't have it, it's just I don't want it. Not that I don't can't get it, and I don't have it. But
anybody
I don't
can
use
get it.
It.
No, I'm just saying anybody can get it. It's a choice whether you
I
want
realize,
it.
I realize, dang, I don't want it. I've had Cash App, and I'm not interested in that. So,
so
I'll get a card.
Hilda will send you a check.
I'll put $30 in it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We just got to make sure the other ladies are willing to do like $10 a month for the birthdays and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Is that fine?
That's fine with me.
It's fine with me.
Okay. So I'll try to get it in the mail tomorrow because the birthday is like 4 days from now.
Sunday. Oh, mm-hmm.
The
23rd. Oh.
This Sunday.
The 26th, you said, right?
Oh, I'm thinking it's the 23rd. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the Sunday is the 26th.
Gotcha.
Oh, good. And that's we have our women's meeting that day,
mm-hmm.
too. So
right.
Yep.
Maybe we should all
something
have birthday special. Virtual backgrounds, birthday virtual backgrounds.
Okay.
Y'all
have virtual backgrounds.
We gotta get you a virtual background.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I don't know how to do that anyway. I have to ask my nephew. He has thing, or he can.
That's what you do. You gotta tap into these young people.
Absolutely, honey. I mean, like, I was asking him to show me how to put an app on my phone, and he was going so fast. I was like, wait, slow down.
Well, that's the thing. They don't
have
patience.
See what you're doing.
So you just got to let them do it for you. They ain't got patience to teach you. That's,
no,
all,
they
that's
don't
the worst part.
Listen, you don't want to let him do it for you because when he's not there, you won't be able to do it. You need to let him walk you through it so that you can learn to do it for yourself.
Yeah,
right.
That's why I was telling him to slow down, and all he has to say is,
keep
okay, auntie,
not
you
a
get this one.
Yeah, you want to learn.
Yeah.
That's the key, learning. Anybody can do it for you. You want to be able to do it for yourself.
Yeah. But you know how, like I said, you know, you're going to have to walk me through it, because that's what my oldest son does sometimes. He'll put up his computer, then he'll tell me go to this and click that, and, you know. But you know,
yeah, because he has patience, but
yeah.
These young people, they ain't got no patience.
No, they don't. They really don't. And my son, he's learning every day to have patience because he got three girls there. You know, they're very active because he got to go take this one to that place and this place and that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Carpooling and all that stuff. I said, oh, you so sweet. he's like, Mom, what I'm going to do? I'm in a house full of women.
Yeah.
And then,
so
like,
listen, what do you guys think about that Gabby Petito case?
Oh, my goodness.
You know they found her body today.
Right.
And they can't
find
the fiancé.
No,
they
haven't found him yet.
But my thing is that it was quite suspicious to begin with, in that he was just looked at as a person of interest. This man comes all the way from, what, Utah, wherever they were, back to Florida, and they're not questioning him because there was no crime committed, but he came back in the woman's car. Without
car.
The woman.
Right. That doesn't make any
and
sense
then,
whatsoever.
When he got home, his sister didn't talk to him. I think they like neighbors, not far from one another. His parents don't want to talk. He shows up missing on Friday, and nobody says anything for 3 days. Exactly. And now they have a camera in the woods that seems to have picked up on his image. They're not sure. It wasn't really confirmed that that's him. But they showed him a man walking in the woods at night, you know, caught by the deer camera, and they think it's him. They don't think he's dead. But the point is, how could you have a person missing and you not, you know, pursued to talk about or even held in jail until this woman appears again?
Right.
But remember, absolutely, they both have a mental problem.
No, I don't know nothing about no mental problem. Who said they have a mental problem?
That's what they said on the news.
In the beginning, they both have a mental problem.
They said both.
So how did you take a trip like that?
Right, they got a mental problem.
To me, the parents, why would you, if you know your daughter has a problem, and you know he has a problem, why would you allow her to go 48 days on some stupid state-to-state thing? I would have never allowed her.
I have to think about them having mental issues, but that doesn't mean it's not so. But the point is, when he was confronted by the officer, now they're trying to blame it on the cop. Oh, he should have done something. Done something for what? When the woman's, when his face is scratched up and she's crying, what do you want him, the cop, to do? You know, or the cop should have stopped him and done what? I blame him. I blame the laundry. The fiance, I blame him. Whatever's going on, I blame him. Anyway, I just wanted to broach that. That was what I was trying to think of for Saturday, but I couldn't think of it.
Oh, that's a nice topic. Yeah,
I said I wanted to talk about something that kind of escaped me. But anyway, just a thought, and it's a very heated discussion. CNN should have more information on it if you ladies have a minute to watch it, you know, especially Cuomo and Don Lemon. But
I like those two.
Both of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, have a blessed night.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye. Love you guys.
Stay safe.
Love you.
I'm not going to play the music. I'm just going to end us out.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom.